sick or struggling. Beautiful ordinances that the Lord has given us. God is good. Over and over again, I see in my own life and those around me that truly God is good. And I hope you feel that for yourself. I guess we've arrived at the time that our brother Stephen will stand and give us a few words of encouragement and direction as the Lord has placed upon his heart. And I'd ask that you give him your careful and prayerful attention and try and glean some value for yourself. I know we're creatures of habit. We come week after week. But let's take something with us. Stephen?
Good morning, brothers and sisters, guests, friends, live streamers. I don't know if we have a better name than live streamers, but it's neat to see the Church of Christ embracing some of the technology that we have out there. But I'm grateful to be here today, to be before you and speaking. I will quickly point out that we are 40 minutes past the hour, okay? It is still my goal to finish by straight up noon, all right? I would not, I'm hoping to be there. You know, it's interesting in preparation for the sermon. About a week and a half ago, I had three simple thoughts in my head. And, I struggled with it, with the thoughts. And it was nothing earth-shattering, groundbreaking, but it was there. It was a very simple message. And as I prepared more and more for it, I wrote those thoughts down and the concepts. And I knew it was Father's Day and I was giving them a hard time. I've become theme guy. I did Mother's Day. I did Father's Day. And then my first sermon was Easter. So I have become theme. But in putting this down, the message was so simple. And it was so straightforward. And as I struggled with it, I tried to add stuff and it didn't fit. And I took stuff away. And, you know, not that the Lord was planning on me speaking for 20 minutes. But, you know, he was prepared for a message that, you know, we get weary and we get tired and we're creatures of habit, as our brother Andy said, and we get set on a clock. And I'm the same way. I sit back there and why is Adam taking so long in this sermon? And of course, I am one to talk because I get windy. But one of the things that I wanted to do is when I preached is I didn't want to give Stephen's message. I didn't want to take 20 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour and a half or what I'm going to take. I want to take and give you what the Lord desires me to give you today. And today, like I said, it was a simple message. I was actually worried that I may not make it 20 minutes. Even with me speaking, I was worried on some of the things. But I don't know if I said it yet, but happy Father's Day. Today's sermon, I want to call it Wants and Needs. I didn't take this scripture down, but we tend to have this natural man. And this natural man is in opposition to God. I've said it before, I kind of envision that you have Satan on one side and God on the other, and we are in the middle with this free will to choose one way or the other. And in that free man, we have certain wants that we have. And some of them are simple, and some of them I find funny, but I want to do certain things in life. The first one I did, I thought it would be nice, a church. I want to be in church. I enjoy church, but I am not a regimented person. I don't enjoy dressing up. There is nothing about dressing up I enjoy. I don't enjoy meeting constantly in meetings, but I enjoy church. I enjoy more the spontaneity of it. You know, the regimented, we get into this platform. You know, that was the other thing. I had it in my mind this time that I was going to mess with every one of you. And I was going to come in here Saturday night, and I was going to turn these pews sideways. And I was going to watch you as you came in and looked at the pews. And I'm glad I didn't for obvious reasons, okay? I would have been too much. And I even thought about doing it, making everybody get up this morning and switch seats so that we didn't get complacent. But I love the concept of church, and I want more church. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. Our wants can be good. Our wants can be unimportant, and they can be bad. I put down here, I would like to be done 10 minutes early with this sermon. You know, I don't have a problem. I am thankful to be up here as a servant of the Lord to preach this gospel. But if you ask me straight up, I have no desire to be here right now. I mean, from that standpoint, it's not fun and it's not exciting. And I'll wake up every morning and go, hey, I wish 100 to 400 people would gather in front of me so I could give them a presentation on the gospel. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. Wake up. Some of the more fun things. You know, I would love to go skydiving again. My wife is not allowed that for obvious reasons. I would love to fish 3 or 4 days a week if possible, but I don't have time. I've got 4 kids. It's not something I can ask for. I'd love to whitewater raft around the world. I'd love to be able to drink Mountain Dew on a regular basis, but I can't do it. It gets me too hyper when I drink too much. It makes me fat-er. I'd love to play the ukulele well. I'd love to play. I've always wanted to play on the bagpipes. I'd love to play Amazing Grace. I think it's so beautiful on the bagpipes. And I actually have a ukulele, and I have a little, forget what the thing's called, but it's the piece you actually practice before you play it. And I don't have the time. I have plenty of time to do it, but I can't take it because I have other things to do. I'd love to golf 3 or 4 times a week. I'd like the Spanish language to pick up the words buenas mañanas. I miss being able in English. I like to say good morning, and you don't say it, you just say buenos dias in Spanish. I want buenas mañanas in the Spanish language. So it's my goal to do that. But we have all these wants. I mean, I wrote down, I've got 100 of them here. I didn't plan on going through all of them. But there's a lot of these things that we have and we want to do in our lives, but they're not necessarily wrong, but they're not necessarily right either. I think the obvious scripture here, I'm going to spend some time, not a lot, the most of my time, how about that, in 3 Nephi chapter 5. And I want to read 1:10 through 1:12, and this is basically the end. This is Christ as he came to this continent to speak to the people, and he gave the Sermon on the Mount, no different than he gave over in the old country. He gave the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the ending of it. And in reference to this, he says in verse 1:10, this is page 640, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." This word treasures, I looked it up, and it kind of surprised me, and I guess it makes sense. But when you look up the definition of treasures, it's the place where good and precious things are collected or laid up. It says a casket or a coffer or other receptacle in which valuables are kept. I don't know if he keeps valuables in a casket, but maybe that's just a different term. A treasury, a storehouse, repository, or magazine. Things laid up in a treasury collect treasures. You know, he makes this call. It's a very simple message. The way I look at this is if your house burns down or, you know, the Lord asks us to leave and go somewhere like when he let his people out of Egypt and he led this whole group of people. If there are stuff that you cannot keep or that you cannot leave, then there are treasures I'm not saying that right. If there are things in your life that are keeping you from the Lord, those are the treasures that you're not to store up. If you've got, I'm not going to pick on anything, none of these things are necessarily wrong, but if you've got things that you can't walk away from, to serve the Lord, to do the Lord's work, to leave whatever, I think about the story of Lehi when they left, and Laman and Lemuel, the two sons that had such a hard time. They were constantly talking about all the things they had back in Jerusalem that they had built up for them, and they wanted to go back and get their treasures. And these treasures are no good. They're of no value to us in heaven, and that's what he's saying here. We can have these wants and these things in our lives that bring us temporary happiness, but that's all they are, is temporary happiness. They're of no value to us in this other life. And we know that this time is meant for our preparation to meet the Lord. What I really want and need. I wrote down some, you'll see where I'm going with this. But some of my wants, some of my, not wants, but needs in this case. I desire to see the kingdom of heaven. I desire to be comforted. I want to inherit the earth. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see God. I want to call the children. I want to be called one of the children of God. And I want to have great joy and be exceeding glad. Turn with me to a little few pages back here, 3 Nephi chapter 5. We're going to go from 50 to 63 in this. And we're going to start at verse 50. I'm going to stop at several places here. Christ speaking again. This is a Sermon on the Mount that is referred to many times as the name given to it. And he says, "Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, we want to be this poor in spirit. We want to be a humble people. We want to prepare ourselves for the kingdom of heaven. In verse 51, he says again, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, as we get further down, it talks about joy and happiness. Don't be confused about this word mourn. You know, we are to mourn. The Lord's going to comfort us. There's going to be things that happen in our lives, deaths, people that we love that walk away from the gospel and choose to serve the devil. This mourning process is part of life that we're going to have. But it says when we mourn, we will be comforted. We talk about it all the time. It's so difficult to imagine a life without the Lord. When you lose someone, you know, to lose a parent at a young age, to lose a brother or a sister or a young child, this is very, very difficult in our humanness. And without the Lord in our lives, it would be hard to understand. But we know that the Lord can take care of those things and He can comfort us. Verse 52, "And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know, this word meek is very similar to humble. It's that subtlety, that softness, that shyness that we have in humility. And the word inherit the earth is something that I looked up several times. I didn't quite understand what it meant, inherit the earth. And I looked it up, and there's several definitions of it. There's even a reference to the land that was given to the people as they crossed over into the promised land. But it's referring to this. The Lord is going to bless those that are meek. He's going to give them safety in the earth and watch over them. Verse 53. Excuse me one second. I'm going to cheat and put that fan on. I know some of you are hot. Verse 53, "And blessed they are which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they are filled with the Holy Ghost." I love this expression, hunger and thirst after righteousness, because I know what it's like to be hungry. I love to eat, and I love that. And you go a day or two without food or a number of times, and you can easily see the relationship, that analogy that he makes to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that feeling of when you haven't eaten in a while and that food is laid before you and you can devour it. You know, that's what we're supposed to do when it comes to righteousness. We're not supposed to be out looking for trouble and looking for problems. We're supposed to look for righteousness. These words, joy and happiness and meekness and humility, these are the things that we're to seek after. And we're to go out and preach this gospel, teach this gospel to others that they might have joy. Verse 54, "And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, that's a difficult one to think about. Can you imagine being persecuted? You know, I've been persecuted. I've been laughed at by a good friend of mine. For telling them about the joys of the gospel that I have. I told them about an experience I had with the moving of the Spirit, and I was laughed to shame. I really was. And I know that there's more than that can be done and persecuted, but in today's world, we talked about it this morning in Sunday school a little bit. it is very difficult to talk about the gospel. We are belittled and destroyed at every step, and we are going to be persecuted, and it's only going to get worse. But it says here, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are the things that are going to be happen. We don't want to be embarrassed. We want to take every opportunity that we have. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. This concept of salt, if we aren't energetic in this gospel, if we aren't out spreading this gospel, if we've lost our savor for spreading this gospel, then where's it going to be salted? It's our job, it's our duty to spread this gospel, to tell people of the joy that is within us. 61, verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you be the light of this people. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, this is a need that I have. It's not easy going out there and preaching the gospel, telling people about it, especially when they mock at you and they look at you, and it's not something that's common practice in the world today. You can do pretty much anything that's in rebellion to Christianity, to this gospel, and it's okay. But as soon as you try to speak, this morning we had an article, homosexuality is one of those things that if you bring it up as something that you don't like, you're persecuted, you're a hate monger. I didn't say I hated the person. I just said it's no different than adultery or fornication, things done out of wedlock. It's no different. I didn't hate anybody, but as soon as you make a comment that's against it, you're a hater and you want to go out and kill them is how they visualize it. And we must be strong, and we must be diligent, and we must stand in the things that we need to do. This concept also of this candle, to put a, when you light this candle, you've seen this demonstration before. You know, how far, if you're up sitting on a mountain and you light a fire, how far can you be seen? You can be seen for miles and miles away. And what you're trying to do is produce a light that you can be seen for miles and miles away. Why would you cover it up? Why would you put this veil over the top of it that you couldn't see the light? That's kind of silly to do those things. But so we have all these wants and we have all these needs that we have, and our whole goal is to stand before God and be judged righteous, to hear those comments, well good, well done, good and faithful servant. Said I'd be done early, and that's my promise. I'll keep it with you. Let's go to 3 Nephi. I want to go to, I'm actually going backwards here. I want to read, I want to read 33 through 36. This is page 634. It's, again, 3 Nephi 5. We're going to read 33 through 36. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me. This is Christ speaking, obviously. And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth me is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they that shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me, believeth in the Father also. This is our goal, is to seek the kingdom of heaven. And part of that is to spread this throughout the world, that we're to be baptized, that we're to seek repentance. You know, this is what the Father wants of us. And we're, you know, it talks about this concept of the Father and the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ being one. Their message is the same, and our message needs to be the same to them. We need to be willing to open up our hearts for the gifts of the Spirit to make sure that our message, that we are united as one body, to be one, to preach that same gospel. I want to turn real quick. Matthew 23. And I'll read 37 through 40. I lied to you. Let's go to 22. I did this last. This is chapter 22, sorry, of Matthew. It's not far back. And I will read 37 through 40. And Jesus, and this is a point right before this where they're trying to tempt him. It says in 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, and they were trying to trick him. When he says these next words, they were trying to get him. There was a huge debate at the time, from what I read in history, and they wanted him to talk about the resurrections or the circumcision. They had all of these things, and they were trying to trick Christ. And he says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And this first commandment, he says several times, we hear from Jesus Christ, if you love me, follow my commandments. We have a need to follow those commandments. We have a need to read these scriptures to understand, to try to understand them. I don't care if you don't understand them. Read them anyways and ask questions or ask the Lord. Bow yourself before the Lord that he would give you understanding. I've told you probably already in the few sermons that I've given. You know, there was one time that I was asking the question about all of these things that were done to Christ. How could someone that we've seen healing and just blatantly heal someone who is maimed their whole life or blind, and they stand up and they walk? You know, and Christ was doing all of these things. Which one of you would condemn him? Even today, if you saw a person doing that today, which one of you is going to take him out and throw him in jail? You know, nobody would do that. Honestly, I kind of knew the answer, but I had no understanding. I was driving home one day, and it was dark outside before I married. And I was thinking of nothing about the gospel. I was probably in my Stephen zone and thinking about nothing. And my eyes were opened and my ears were opened. We are a bunch of crybabies in the Church of Christ. And I had full understanding and knowledge. It wasn't a voice. It wasn't a word spoken, but it was just there. I can't explain it. If you've ever had that experience or never had that experience, seek it out. But it was there. And I had complete understanding of what was happening, what was going on, and why they did that to him. But we're to follow his commandments. In 39, he says, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I went through all of these wants beforehand. You know, I want to go skydiving. And, you know, if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to drag all of you with me. Who's ready to go skydiving with me? Okay? I'm betting about a third of the church is going to raise their hand. The other two-thirds are probably going to hurt me in some manner, okay? But that's not what we're to do. It doesn't say love somebody, you know? I didn't get into first of it, but I grew up most of my life. We met in church, and we met in small, just like this past weekend. I got to meet with our brother Jerry and sister Kathy and a lovely lady named Catherine, and we sat in the rooms, and I love that. I love to be able to do that, and it's hard for me when I get in the church sometimes, especially when it gets crowded or hot, to meet constantly. I wasn't raised that way to do that. And so it's harder. I don't know how to explain that to you, but it's harder for me to do it. And some of you are to the point where if you missed one service, you think your legs are going to fall off. And I have nothing. That's awesome. And you should feel that, and we should feel that way. And I have a need to be right here every time this church meets. Despite what I'm feeling, I need to be right here. And I need to not be in church just when church is open. And we open these prayers. There are 7 days in a week, and we can serve the Lord every single one of those days. Don't think, don't get yourself in, you know, and that's why I joke about moving the pews and messing with your minds during this service, is because we come in here and we get so complacent. We get so, this is how things are done. You know, we're going to come here Sunday morning, and the first thing we do is we're going to have Sunday school. We're going to have a preaching service. Allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. I would have gladly allowed Andy to finish preaching right here. But that's not the way it was going to be. But I, you know, and that's why I have this tendency to want to do things differently. But we have a need to meet together. For those of you who like the gathering like this so much, I'm not going to, you know, we need to do that. But don't be afraid. But just because this is the only time church is in place, man, call some friends over. Let's have a prayer service. Let's have a scripture. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's plan. We can do all these things. We are so blessed in this gospel. We have so much work to do. More and more, we have things more to do. The Lord, the world tries to take away our time, and we need to take advantage of that time and take it back and start serving the Lord better. I need to do these things. I need to teach my kids the gospel. I need to be a good father. I need to be a good husband. You know, that takes away my ukulele playing time. That takes away my fishing time and my golfing time. All of these things are taken away. And it's not that I don't want one or the other, but I have a need to serve the Lord because that's the most important thing. Being Father's Day, this may come as a shock, but I'm going to close. Let us turn to Psalm 103. If I were giving a quote-unquote Father's Day sermon, being that this is Father's Day sermon, I would read this entire psalm to you. It's a beautiful verse. That is your homework tonight. Every one of you, read 103. Read it all. And if you want to keep going, go for it. But read verse 103. It is a great sermon or a great psalm. But I'm only going to read one in closing, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The word pitieth means in this verse to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, have tender affection, have compassion. This is what the Lord provides for us, that I'm to provide as a father. And I think about that word, you know, that the Lord loves me. He loves me deeply. He shows me great mercy. He's compassionate with me. Such tender affection and compassion. He's a merciful God. Willing us to forgive, willing to forgive us of things in an instant, to forget things in an instant, which we as humans struggle to do, is to forget. And it's gone. And he is a loving God, and he has given us this great example of little children to a father, that his love is much greater to us. I thank you for your time. I pray that it was well worth your time, that I had prepared myself properly, and that I am thankful to be here. You know, it's not something I want to do, but it is a need to do this, to do these things. I take joy in the gospel, and I take joy in my Lord. It is something that, as I draw closer to Him, it becomes more and more enjoyable. And I'm grateful to be here before you, and I pray that your day and your week and would be wonderful, and that we would not forget, and that you would take time to serve the Lord, that you would separate your wants from what the Father wants and the needs that we have. Thank you.